Life is so simple when our decisions and choices are a clear yes or no, right or wrong, good or bad. But life gets really complicated when the thing in front of us is a maybe. Imagine for a moment that you have a decision to make, but there really is no obvious right or wrong answer. Some of you are saying, I don't have to imagine long because that happened to me this week. Imagine a time when you were invited into a situation or an activity or an experience, and you wanted to say yes, but you weren't quite sure. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this right? Is this wrong? You couldn't find any clear sense of direction. Now, I know you are intelligent, and so you would immediately say, I need to get some wise counsel here. I need some advice on this. And so imagine that you go to a couple of people who you trust. I mean, they're wise people. They give you good advice. And when you present the situation to them, you have two conflicting opinions. One tells you yes, one tells you no. One says it's good, one says it's bad. I suspect that you would also dive into Scripture if you're a person of faith, and you would say, I need some clear direction on this. I mean, we know that God's Word is filled with clear direction on moral issues and guidelines for life. But imagine that in this particular issue, you couldn't find any clear advice and guidance from Scripture. Life is simple when things are yes or no, good or bad, right or wrong. But it gets complicated in what we could call the gray space. How do you live well in the gray space? How do you do what is right, what is good, what is God-honoring in every situation, every area of life? The ones that are really obvious and the ones that are a little confusing. You know, when you really think about it, a significant portion of our life is lived in the gray space. So we have to learn how to navigate there so we can find ourselves in a place that we want to be. If we fumble our way through the kind of murky middle, we may wind up in a place that we never intended to be. Think about it. Have you ever been out driving in a dense fog? Everything just has this sort of grayish mist about it. It's just shrouded in grayish mist. And it's easy in that moment to miss road signs, to miss stop signs. It's easy not to see potholes or to see the ditch by the side of the road. And eventually, when the fog lifts, if you're not careful, you will have found yourself in a place that you never intended to go because you missed the road signs, you missed the stop signs, you didn't see the potholes, you didn't see the ditch. To get where we want to go in life, to experience the life that God designed us for, we need guidance. We need guidance on how to navigate our way through the gray space. We all need to know, how do you make decisions? How do you make choices when it's not a clear good or bad, a clear right or wrong? Well, I want to invite you into a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians, Christ followers, who were wrestling with some of the same issues that we wrestle with today. These Christ followers, they lived in the ancient city of Corinth. And these were people who were trying, just like us, to figure out how to follow Christ in every single area of life. They were trying to understand the moral principles of Scripture, and they understood there are some very clear guidelines, some very clear moral descriptions about right and wrong in Scripture. And we don't have to debate those at all. They're very clear. But what about the issues where there is no clear yes or no? On those issues, how do we make decisions? The Christ followers in Corinth were really struggling to know what Christ wanted them to do in all of these situations. I mean, they knew that Christ had said, hey, the Old Testament law is now replaced with a new law, and it all boils down to this: love God completely and love others unconditionally. Jesus said, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so the Christ followers in Corinth are trying to figure out, what does it look like to love God and love others in all of these various situations of life? And they found themselves asking questions like this. If Christ offers forgiveness through his death on the cross, can't I just do whatever I want? I mean, he's going to forgive me, so I'll just do whatever. Sometimes they found themselves living in such a corrupt, immoral, permissive society that they had this idea that if something wasn't specifically mentioned in Scripture, then God didn't care and it didn't matter what they did. And there were issues in the Corinthian culture that were just unique and confusing to them and to us. For instance, in the marketplaces in Corinth, much of the meat that was sold there came from animals that had been used in sacrifices in pagan temples. And some of the people who were Christ followers says, it doesn't really matter where the meat came from. You can just go ahead and eat whatever you buy in the marketplace. And there were others who said, no, you have to find out where that animal has been. You have to find out if it was used in a pagan temple, and if it was, you can't eat that meat. Seems like a weird issue to us, but for those Christ followers in Corinth, it was actually splitting relationships and causing people to not even be able to talk to each other and worship together. So the Apostle Paul writes two letters to the Christians in Corinth to try to help them work through the issues. And today I want to ask you to think about that first letter with me. I mean, he tries to help them address the struggles that we've already mentioned and a lot of other issues. He gives them some principles for navigating their way through the gray space. Now, in several places in this First Corinthian letter, Paul quotes a statement that was very famous in the Corinthian culture. And then he gives them a qualifying answer. He gives them a principle to help them navigate their way through a challenging situation. So let me ask you to grab your Bible or open up your phone app to 1 Corinthians, and let me point out a couple of passages of Scripture to you. We're actually going to look at four sections of Scripture and four principles. In chapter 6, verse 12, Paul makes the statement that is famous in Corinthian culture. They were famous for saying, I am allowed to do anything. And Paul says, you say that, but not everything is good for you. And even though you say, I am allowed to do anything, he says, you should not become a slave to anything. He mentions the same statement over in chapter 10, and if you want to look there, you're welcome to. Verse 23, he says, you say this, I'm allowed to do anything, reminds them of this statement they make all the time. And then he says, but not everything is good for you, and not everything is beneficial for you. He dives into chapter 8 by talking about this whole issue of meat and whether they're going to eat it or not, this controversy. And he talks to them about you don't win God's approval by what you eat or what you don't eat. Verse 8, I think, is so powerful in chapter 8. He says, you don't win God's approval by what you put into your mouth. You're not going to lose anything if you don't eat it, and you're not going to gain anything if you do. And so he says, you have to be careful in this issue that's not clearly right or wrong, that's not good or bad. You have to be careful that in your freedom to eat or not eat, you don't cause somebody else to stumble. So when you think about all of these issues that Paul brings to the table and the principles that he shares, let's just boil it down into four thoughts. When you and I find ourselves navigating our way through the gray space of life, Paul says we need to ask ourselves this thought, position ourselves underneath this principle, that while we can do a lot of different things, we must not become a slave to anything. Paul says you're famous for saying, I can do anything, but he says you shouldn't become a slave to anything. Sometimes the very things that we do in the name of I am allowed can lead us into a prison of addiction and bondage. In the end, we give up control of our lives to something that we indulged in as an act of freedom to do whatever we want. And Paul says you have to be careful in the gray space. If it's not clearly right and it's not clearly wrong and it's not clearly good and it's not clearly bad, one of the ways you can determine the direction to go is to ask yourself, will this become a master over me? Will this enslave me? He also poses another principle for us. He says we ought to make sure that as we navigate our way through the gray space, that we are careful not to cause others to stumble. We've mentioned this meat-eating controversy. And Paul says, it is so important that as I'm navigating the gray space of whether to eat this meat or not eat this meat, it's so important that I think about not just my own self, but the way that my behavior affects others, that he says, I'm gonna go so far as to say I will never eat meat again if it would cause a brother or sister to waver in their faith. Now we say, Paul, come on, why would eating meat or not eating meat be a big deal to those people? We don't understand their culture. It was a big deal to them. And Paul said, I'm so concerned about others and loving them unconditionally that when I make decisions, I'm not going to think about the way that it just affects me because I don't live in solitary confinement. I'm going to think about the way it affects others. Jesus said we have to love God and we have to love others. And he's reminding us, our choices, our decisions, it impacts the people around us. And maybe an appropriate question that we ought to ask when we are living in the gray space and when we are thinking about how our choices affect others is just the popular question, what does love require of me? In this situation, as I go through this, as I make this choice, am I doing what love requires of me, loving God and loving others? Paul poses a question for us in the third thought as we navigate gray space. He says, is this beneficial for me and for others? I'm allowed to do anything. That's the famous statement. Paul says in verse 23 of chapter 10, is this actually beneficial? There are many things that we can do, but they aren't necessarily good for us. They don't necessarily benefit us or others. And listen, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can order a 32-ounce beverage doesn't mean you should. And there's lots of other things in life that go the same way. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Paul said, ask yourself, is this beneficial to me and to others? And finally, Paul wraps up this section of Scripture by posing a tremendous statement to us. It's chapter 10, verse 31, and I'd love for you to share it with me. Chapter 10 and verse 31. Paul says, whether you're eating or you're drinking or whatever you're doing, do it all for the glory of God. Paul says, when you're in the gray space, when you're thinking about whether this is good or bad or right or wrong, you ought to ask yourself, can I do this for the glory of God? Sometimes when we are in a decision that is morally neutral, we find ourselves almost paralyzed because we don't want to do the wrong thing. But these words of Paul, I think, really bring clarity to the issue. He says you need to make your decision based on not becoming a slave to anything. You need to make your decision based on, am I going to cause somebody to stumble by engaging in this, by doing this? Is this beneficial to me or for others? And then he says it all comes under the umbrella of, does this bring glory to God? I remember a number of years ago being in conversations with some people who I greatly cared about, and they were asking me some questions about their business and where their business should be located. They were in one location, and they were thinking of moving to another. And they were praying about it. They were asking lots of questions. They were thinking about it. And yet they said, Wes, we just don't seem to be getting any clear direction on this. And we just feel like God's not giving us what we need to be able to make the choice of whether to stay or whether to move. And it just came to me, this statement about whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And I just asked them this question. I said, could it be possible that God cares more about how you run the business for His honor and glory as opposed to where your business is located? See, that's what God cares about in your life and in my life. He cares about when we are in that gray space. It's not really wrong if I'm located here. It's not really right or wrong if I'm located here. What He cares about is, how am I going to live wherever I'm located? The way we navigate the gray space will determine a lot about where we wind up in life. And I hope that as you wrestle through some of the challenges of your life, as you find yourself navigating your way through gray space, I hope you'll remember these navigation points that Paul gives to us today. You see, it's possible to get through the gray space and have the gray misty shroud lift in the sunshine. It's possible to be there and to be exactly where you intended to be, with God's help and with God's guidance. So I want to pray for you today that as you navigate through the gray space, that you'll navigate through with God's truth clearly in view, and that these navigation points from 1 Corinthians will help guide you. Let's pray together. So God, we often find ourselves in these moments making decisions and making choices that are not necessarily morally right or wrong, but we still, even in those moments, we want to do what's honoring to You. We want to do what's right. We want to do what's best. We want to do what's beneficial for us and for others. And so we ask that You would bring to mind in our lives the truth of Your Word that would help guide us and direct us. God, we know that sometimes when things get a little misty and foggy and we aren't sure which direction to go or which choice to make, that there are decisions we can make that would take us in the wrong direction and that might possibly enslave us, as Paul mentions, or might cause harm to others, or might lead us in a direction that we don't want to go. So God, help us be thoughtful, help us be prayerful, help us be willing to take the steps that You call us to take, so that in everything we're doing, whether we're eating or drinking or whatever we're doing, that we're bringing honor and glory to God. Give us wisdom, give us direction, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am so glad that you joined us today for this online worship experience. I hope that these few moments that we've spent together will be meaningful to you and that God can use them to help grow your soul and help you walk forward on your spiritual journey. Before we say goodbye today, I want to just remind you that this Sunday of June 14th, Grace Point is taking a next step towards on-site worship gatherings at our campuses. We've been running the first two plays in our strategy, moving back to on-site gatherings over the last few weeks, Grace Point at home and Grace Point in your groups. And this Sunday, June 14th, as well as June 28th, we are going to be experiencing Grace Point connecting in community. And so we're going to invite you to be a part of a tailgate takeout experience. And here at the Owosso campus and at the St. John campus, we're going to invite you to grab some food from your favorite restaurant or bring a picnic lunch and just celebrate together being able to have some face-to-face conversation again after so many weeks and even months being apart. So you've watched the online worship gathering. We want to invite you to be a part of the tailgate takeout today, as also on June 28th. Now, I know that many of you are really looking forward to experiencing worship gatherings together on site at our campuses. And I just want to let you know that we have been praying, we have been seeking wise counsel, we have been working together as a staff and as a leadership board. We have been thinking and talking to the experiences of other churches that have already been regathering. And so I just want to let you know that we have continued to really work through the four issues that I've thrown out to you a number of times before: safety, logistics, experience, and sustainability. And we feel comfortable that as we go through this month of June into the beginning of July, we're going to be able to address all of those issues in a really positive way. So here's what I want to announce to you today. So that for our St. John's campus, they are going to have an on-site worship gathering on June 28th at 10 a.m., and then they'll partake in the tailgate takeout event at their campus and at their location. Here at the Owosso campus, we're going to continue to experience the online worship event on the 28th and on July 5th, and then on July 12th, we are going to regather here at the Owosso campus for a worship experience on-site, in person, and we are so excited about that day. We hope you'll mark it on your calendar and plan to be here. Now, I know some of you are saying, Wes, why are we waiting until July 12th? Like, I know churches that have already been meeting for a couple of weeks, and so why are we waiting? And I just want to let you know that we have worked so hard at trying to make sure we can offer you a worship experience that will be meaningful to you and that will help you really grow in your faith and be able to grow in your relationships with each other. If we go back to on-site worship experiences at the Owosso campus sooner than July 12th, then we're going to have to implement some very, very rigid protocols, which we believe would actually overwhelm the worship experience itself. We're hoping that by July 12th, we will be able to just welcome anybody who wants to come. That's who we are as a Grace Point family. And if we go back before that to on-site gatherings, there's going to be so many restrictions on how many people can be in the building that we'll actually have to have people register for our services and then turn people away if they're not registered. Or if we get to the size limits for the attendance in the building, we'll have to turn people away. Our leadership team just says, that's not who we are. We want to welcome everybody, always, every week. And so for that reason and a lot of others, we are saying for our Owosso campus, July 12th will be the day that we will kick off our on-site campus worship gatherings, and we are so excited about it. We're going to be giving you lots of details, lots of information about all the logistics for us to regather in the weeks to come. But I hope you'll pray for us. I hope you'll extend grace to each other as we continue to navigate through these events. And we look forward just to continuing to be the church that God has called us to be, offering real hope for real people in our real communities. We'll look forward to seeing you next weekend.